This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
Joy 94.9.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek. Good evening and welcome to the show that explores sex, sexuality and self. It is Hide and Seek, and a very fine evening to Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, Dean. And a big thank you to the Chicks Talking Footy.
Big weekend ahead for them.
Chookers to them.
I see what you did there.
Almost.
And what about me? It's always about me.
Yeah, it's
about going to be great to hear their take on the game.
Yes.
And it's been a long path for some of us.
It has for you in particular. No.
And we're not quite there yet.
But it's a fantastic initiative by St Kilda and Sydney. So all the best to everyone involved. You're on Saturday night.
Quite right. It is a fantastic initiative of St Kilda and Sydney. Very well said. Now we're going to have an arresting evening tonight.
We are. We're going to be on our best behaviours here in the studio.
We have not one, not two,
not three.
We have four very senior police joining us in just a few minutes. And
that's
right. To say I am sweating bullets, it would be an understatement. But yes, we're looking forward to talking to Gabby Tyke, who's organising all of this, of course.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the interaction of sex workers and the Victorian Police Force.
In particular, I guess, the challenges that that sex workers generally who might be working from home, whatever that might be, face if they have an incident at home.
Yeah, I mean, it should be said that this has come at the initiative of the police. They want to be seen to be more welcoming of, in particular, male sex workers.
Yeah, so very important conversation happening tonight, so make sure you stay tuned.
Hide and seek.
Wanna see you get nasty. Wanna see you shake it down, babe. N-A-S-T-Y, you nasty boy.
This is Hide and Seek. It is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck with you tonight on a very important show. We have got four police with us.
We do.
And first time on this show, I think, on their insistence. Now, of course, the gay and lesbian liaison officers are well loved within our community, and Gabby Tyke is with them. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Gabby, you've brought along with you Detective Senior Sergeant Paul Edbun from the Sexual Offences and Child Abuse Investigation Unit. Welcome to you, Paul.
Thank you.
We have Sergeant Richard Farrelly. He is a Sex Industry Coordination Unit person who's been in the industry of the police force for 22 years. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
And also with us from the Sex Industry Coordination Unit with 17 years experience, it is Sergeant Jackie Klein. Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Gabby, why have you trained me into this idea of talking about this? We're basically trying to reach out to men who are sex workers. And,
yes.
And we just heard the community service announcement too. But why do you want to do this? What's going on?
Well, I've been speaking to someone who is a representative from that area, who has been in contact with a number of men who over the years have been victims of crime, and in particular been victims of a particular two people who are targeting these men. And basically he's saying that...
Sorry, just there are currently two Johns, as they call that, what they call
I'm
them?
I'm not sure.
There are two guys out there that are creating a hassle
yeah,
for these people.
Yes, they are, right. And just being, just harassing people. And the victims aren't reporting to police because there's a number of reasons, but I think the main one is that they believe that they're committing a crime themselves, because we're talking about men who are working out of their own homes and may not be registered as a sex worker. And we're going to talk a bit later, I guess, about what the law says about that.
Sure.
But
we sure are.
We wanted to come on here and make sure that men who are doing this kind of work know that they can report offences to police when they're a victim and not be arrested and charged for the offence of being unlicensed or unregistered.
So Gabby, we you know, obviously we know a fair bit about what the GLOWs do. Sergeant Richard, can we go to you? What is the Sex Industry Coordination Unit?
The Sex Industry Coordination Unit was set up in early 2012 as a result of an inquiry into people trafficking, and established that the vast majority of people trafficking occurs within the sex industry. Victoria Police hadn't had a great footprint in the industry, if you like. So,
In fact, it was the sex industry or sex worker industry that was lobbying for this, were they not? They were pissed off that there were little homes and places popping up in Richmond and around the suburbs that were advertising as massage places and doing a lot more than massage.
Yeah, there's a lot of, for the one better term, illegal brothels, suspected illegal brothels, which are providing massage. So, say, for example, there's a large amount of massage shops that are providing sexual services, and that or we suspect they're providing sexual services. But we were set up initially because of the people trafficking inquiry. Our charter has evolved from the legal sex industry, the brothels and things like that, to really policing the illegal sex industry, which is actually quite large.
So the actual brothels, there are only a few. You have to jump through all sorts of hoops to get them. And they are well known to you.
Yes, yes.
Anyone can open up a massage place, a place of massage.
Spot on, yes.
And therein lies the problem.
Yes, there's with regard to the legal sector, with regard to the brothels, there's about 90 licensed brothels in Victoria. So to put that in perspective, there's about 20 or 25 in Queensland. So Victoria has quite a large amount of brothels. Most of those are centred in metropolitan Melbourne and some in Geelong.
And there's a reason for that. It's because it's illegal to operate out of your own home.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now that's what we'll get to shortly. Yeah. But there's, as you're going on before about the massage shops. So we're doing a lot of work around the massage shops and trying to get them shut down. But there's quite low barriers to actually opening up a massage shop. As you say, you can pretty well just open one in a shopping strip, no questions asked.
When does a massage become sex work?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, good question. It's basically when, to give you an idea about how it starts, there'll be a client will go into a massage shop and ask for a massage, pay for it at the front counter.
Basically, a foot massage shouldn't end in a hand.
Yeah, basically. And then once they go inside, then the negotiation is held, whether it be you want extras and all those kinds of things. Then ranges from masturbation through to full sex.
So masturbation is illegal?
Well, in the terms of being paying for it, yeah, it is, okay. Yeah.
So. And brothels are highly regulated and I think generally on the whole run pretty well, aren't they?
Yeah, there are, on the whole, yeah.
Some are better than others.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we do have a lot of concerns about the licensees from the legal sector that are complaining about the I suppose, the one of a better term, explosion of massage shops that are coming up that are providing the sexual services.
So. Sergeant Jackie, what are you witnessing out there on the ground? What's going on out there in the dark of night?
Well, my role's a bit different to Richard's in that I'm with the Sexual Offences and Child Abuse Investigation Team, which is quite a mouthful, but essentially our role is just that, to investigate sexual assault of both children and adults, as well as child abuse incidents. So for us, you know, we'd have to say we don't get a lot of reports from males, masseuse,
you get the shitty end of the deal, though. I mean, you've got to see some of the worst things, surely, that our society can put their heads around.
Yeah, look, obviously the people that we get to meet, unfortunately, are ones that have been, you know, traumatised at probably one of the lowest points in their lives when they're coming to us. Our role is to investigate what they're reporting. So the SOCKETs, which is the abbreviation, are made up of detectives, investigators that are specifically trained to investigate incidents of sexual assault. And so basically we support a victim through that whole reporting process, through the investigation stage, and then, you know, if we end up arresting a suspect, charging, court processes, things like that.
I would imagine you don't take any of it very lightly, but are there cases of allegations that are really just people trying to piss somebody else off, and there's no evidence to suggest that anything actually happened? Do you get much of that?
Oh, look, it's hard to say. Every case is different, but, you know, certainly there is some of that.
And is it underreported,
well,
do you think?
Sex work offences?
No, I'm talking on the whole sexual offences.
Sexual offences? Look, I probably feel that, yeah, it is underreported. And we're probably in one of the more busier times than we have been in years gone past for reporting, but I still feel that there's room for improvement
because
for that.
Because of the conversation we're having in the community about, I guess, the Royal Commission and those sorts of things?
Exactly, right. Yeah. So there's more reporting through that. But reporting a crime like that to police is not an easy thing to do. And so, you know, as I said, each individual is different. And some it's just too traumatic.
And do you find that sex workers as a population experience sexual abuse more often, or is it fairly well controlled, particularly those in the brothels?
Look, because we don't have a lot of reporting, I can't really make a generalisation on that.
It could be that it's happening but the brothels are not reporting it, or...
Correct, yeah. I would say that is the case.
Okay.
Gabby Tyhek, I imagine that gay men on the whole, when it comes to interacting with the police, don't do so lightly, and when they do, they do so fearfully.
Well, again, there's a lot of underreporting in the LGBTI community. So the fact that we have GLOWS, we're an easy contact point for the community to speak to police. That's our role, to make sure it is easier, that if you ring the police and you speak to a GLOW, that we have a better understanding, maybe a bit more sensitivity to what's going on, understanding the additional barriers that might be there. But with this community, and one thing that the person who approached me has said, that not to call men who do sex work male sex workers, that they don't identify as male sex workers because they think of that as a female job. Mm-hmm. And also most men who are doing this kind of work have a full-time job or a day job, and this is just they're doing it for extra money. So they identify as whatever their usual role would be, and then they do this.
So how do they identify?
As an erotic masseuse, or an online commercial profile they would have, because they basically would promote themselves or advertise themselves online somewhere, or as a male escort.
Yeah. So Richard, for male escorts, there are no brothels now, are there?
Is there one?
It's at, in the last few years, there's been a lot of brothels that have shut down.
Yep.
So there's really no place for male escorts to go. You might have transgender, but
yep,
even that's on the brink of probably closing itself.
So. And do you think that is due to the online space and accessing this sector online?
Yes, no. Yeah. There's the online sector has basically just just blown us away, really. We've seen an increase in ads, even in the 3 years I've been doing all this work in the sex industry, of people just placing ads online. There is a registration process if you want to be an escort through Business Licensing Authority, and then you're given, I suppose, for the want of a better term, an approval to do sex work in Victoria. Once you get that approval, you can't actually do the sex work or the erotic masseuse massage at your private premises. You have to go to the client's location.
Which is very different in New South Wales and creates, yes, a lot of issues locally.
Yeah.
We'll come back and explore those very shortly, yep, but we would love to hear from you. 0427 joy949 is the SMS. Email us on air@joy.org.au. We're talking male escorts and the police on Hide and Seek.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the police.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Male escorting and the police.
That's right.
Now, we're with a cast of thousands. We are with...
Detective Sergeant Paul from the Sexual Offenders Child Abuse Investigation Team, also Sergeant Jackie from there, and Sergeant Richard Farrelly from the Sex Industry Coordination Unit.
Our very own Glow is here.
A famous Glow is here as well. Gabby.
Gabby, how long have you been on Joy?
I think it was 2008 or 9 I started.
You're doing well. What we haven't done is hear from Paul. So, Detective Senior Sergeant Paul. Did I get your name right before?
Eddie Bone.
What do you do?
I'm the boss of the actual soccer office.
Right. Okay.
Surprise.
So, is this on your lead that you are here? Is it because you've approved? I mean, how does this work? Is it because you've seen a need to reach out to these people, or is it because Gabby said, Paul?
That's Paul about it. That's probably about it. No, Gabby came to me with a few concerns about a few people in the industry that have been victims, and they really aren't sure of how to go about reporting it to us and getting the confidence to do it.
What's the pattern, though? Because Gabby made mention that there seems to be two guys out there creating havoc, but you'd need a few of those reports before you can start to see a pattern, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course. But look, one report's enough. You know,
right.
We're very much victim-centric, concentrating on looking after them more so than anyone else. And, you know, we want people to come forward and report. You know, it's very important for us from Victoria Police, community confidence in being assured that they'll get the right customer service from us, and that's what it's all about. And
well, customer service industry is what we're talking about tonight on the show. There's a couple of sticking points. That is, you can't be an escort in your own home because that constitutes, under our current legislation, a brothel, which is illegal unless it's registered. And you can't be a sex worker if you have HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are.
Correct.
So what happens if you've got HIV and you're doing sex work and someone bangs you on the head? What do they do?
Oh, look, we still regard them as a victim, you know. And there's a word called discretion. You know, we take all the necessary inquiries first and foremost, like I said, is the person reporting it is a victim. And the consequences after, whatever, if they're a sex worker or running a legal brothel, well, that's an issue we take up later. But the priority for us, from my office, is that we try and do our best we can to look after that person who's reporting it to us. Because at the end of the day, they are a victim. They've gone through an absolute traumatic experience and we need to look after them as best we can.
And I'm sure there are HIV clients who seek out HIV-positive escorts to zero sort on that level for their own reasons as well. So it doesn't have to be always in the negative realm of thinking, not or action. I mean, zero sorting is doing the right thing.
Correct.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
God, Andrew, help.
Getting too complex, Dean.
So... Can I, Gabby, just add, when we have a victim of a crime, it's like we talk about at a beat when a man wants to meet another man for sex, a similar kind of thing where if they become a victim of a crime, they're afraid to report to police because they could be charged with offensive behaviour. And we always say, well, we look at the more serious crime, you're a victim of a serious crime, and offensive behaviour is a minor offence, and we don't we're not going to be looking at that.
And the thing at the beat was theoretically a victimless crime, and yet we've got a victim, and that's
exactly
right.
Okay. And serious offences occur. So if you're a male escort and you've been sexually assaulted or physically assaulted, and you wanted to report to police, well, we're not going to go, oh, well, you were working out of your own home. We're going to charge you with that. And we've also got a way of, if you do end up being charged with that, which you shouldn't be, but sometimes the police may do that because they're not aware that they shouldn't be, there is an avenue that you can seek and speak to someone at SICU, which is the sex industry.
Not the SICOs.
No, not the SICOs. Right. And they can then speak to the investigator about how to proceed with that.
So,
but that's a negotiation thing, is it not? Mm. I mean, you're starting to... and the police have been accused of this for many years, using charges and offences as leverage. And our community has been victim to that for years.
I think what I'm talking about here is more that there are thousands of offences that people can be charged with. And so if the police are misinformed and charge someone with something that they perhaps they shouldn't be, and we say here all the time, you shouldn't be charged with a minor offence if you're a victim of a crime. Mm. It may have been done without the best knowledge and just not done appropriately, not because of anything they're trying to get out of someone, but just hasn't been done correctly. And that's where you can speak to an investigator here and say, well, I don't think I should have been charged with this. It's the same with if you were charged with being at a beach.
That, but, you know, if you're charged with something, you kind of go into meltdown. How do I deal with it? I can't afford a lawyer. I'm not on health benefits, so I can't go to legal aid. You know, you're sort of stuck in a corner.
But what I'm saying here is you're speaking to someone from the police in a specialised area.
Well, the first person I go to is you, Gabby, so I can say help.
But that's a good question.
Yeah. That's the point.
Where do you go? Like, if I was a sex worker out in the suburbs, say, for example, and I had an incident at home and I ended up calling the police, I'd have the local division come to me, who would they go to or who should I go to first? Richard?
I'm not understanding the question.
Yeah.
So Andrew's saying, would he go to you, Gabby, or should he go to the local office?
Or do I go to the sex offenders? Or does the local constable go to the sex offenders unit, the sexual unit, or Gabby?
In the first instance, the worker or masseuse or whatever it is, any particular victim should actually contact, whether it be 000 or whatever, and speak to the first port of call will probably be the constable that attends at the scene, who will then make contact with detectives if need be. Yeah. So it'll depend on the circumstances at the time. So
can they request at that local level to have a GLOW attend any face-to-face stuff or, just be there with them?
Yeah, they can. Of course they can. Yeah. Any assistance they need, we can accommodate that. That's fine. And at the end of the day, it's reassuring for them to know that there's someone there is confident and believes them.
And understands where they're at.
And but it tends to be not at the time. I mean, if there's a GLOW on...
What you're saying is you don't want a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning, Gabby.
When I'm asleep, no.
Right.
And there's 120 GLOWs around the state, but we're not operating in that... possibly
they're
in
not on call 24/7.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So certainly you can have a GLOW, but it might be at a later date.
And it might need your attention might be more needy instantly, you know, straight away.
Yeah, and we're here for people who are victims who aren't reporting immediately, who want to speak and get some advice and say, okay, I'll ring a GLOW and say, this has happened to me. What's going to happen if I report it? And I was working out of my own home. What's going to happen? So that's what we're there for.
Detective Senior Sergeant Paul, can you tell me how far back could I report an incident? If I was still clear on who it was and
there's
whatever.
No time limit. There's no legislation for statutory limitations for serious sexual offences. That includes child abuse, rape. So any person out there that's been victimised or they believe that they've been abused in one way or another, physically or sexually, come straight to the police. If
there's no statute of limitations on this.
No.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Which is great because, you know, and you see it through the Royal Commission, I think the cultural change in the community and the society generally has been fantastic in the last 15 years. Mm. And I think the commission, initiative, you know, the Violence Against Women and Children initiative for more self-reporting has been fantastic as well. So at the end of the day... and you see it in the Royal Commissions where you see these people in their 50s they were abused at 14 and they're reliving it like it was yesterday.
Oh, and it's quite evident the profound impact it has had on their entire life.
Yes.
Jackie, what are you doing investigation-wise when someone does lodge an issue? How does it work?
So
I've been assaulted, yes. Ring up, my local constabulary. Gabby's called in to help out when I've got to go down in 2 days' time, and then you get the brief. What goes on there?
Yeah, so we obviously meet face-to-face with the reporting person, and as Paul said, if they want any other people involved as a support, they certainly can have. That's no issues at all. So whether it be they come into our office and meet us, or we perhaps meet at another location or at their house, we're very flexible with that. We want them to be comfortable to be able to talk about what's happened. So we'll be guided by the reporting person, the victim, as to how much they want to disclose initially. We'll spend whatever amount of time is needed to get them to feel comfortable, because obviously what they're talking about is quite private and intimate and can be embarrassing, even though there's, you know, there's no need to feel ashamed or embarrassment, but that is quite commonly a feeling. And we'll have a discussion about basically what's happened, and we'll give some advice on how we can move forward from that. And we can also refer them to some other support services, such as, you know, CASA, Centre Against Sexual Assault, who are counsellors who are specifically for victims of sexual assault, and do a very good job. And we work very, very closely with them. So they're a great support agency for us to utilise. And then I guess, you know, from our initial conversations, we would call that a disclosure interview, where we're finding out exactly what we're dealing with, what's happened. We'd look to, you know, get those details in a form, in a statement form, from that person, and then go from there.
As we heard from Richard before, a lot of these things, particularly for male workers and escorts, would be coming through internet. So are records of you know, my Grindr profile, are they things that you can use?
God, yeah. I hope not.
We'll be looking into yours. Yeah.
Well, you can help yourself. Be prepared.
Absolutely. So there's all different investigative techniques that we use for these sorts of offences, and that's probably important when we talk about time frames. A lot of people think that, oh, it happened 2 weeks ago, 2 months, 20 years. There's no evidence. There's nothing.
He's blocked me on. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Obviously, we have all different ways and means to go about doing our investigation.
It's called detective work, Andrew.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes people get probably try and think too far ahead, whereas they need to leave that worry and concern with us.
It's just like on CSI anyway.
And absolutely. They all wrapped up in an hour.
We are speaking with the police here in Victoria about male escorting, and they're encouraging you, if you are a male escort and have been the victim of some sort of assault, then they want to hear from you. You're listening to Hide and Seek. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. Yeah, right. Hide and Seek, you are listening to Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Becker with you. We have the Victorian Police here, and we are talking about male escorts and reporting of crimes against them. Now, Richard, what is an offence against me? If someone takes my money and they were a client, they paid me, and then I don't know, somehow they've snuck my money away and I've gone off and realized they've cleaned me out, is that reportable?
Yes, absolutely. Right, okay. And we do encourage it. What we're really, or the message we're trying to get across is, like, what is the greater harm with regard to, say, for example, their masseuse is working out of their house providing sex work, which is illegal, turns a house into an illegal brothel, but that's what we're more concerned is,
what if they're not registered and they're doing it at home? Yeah, that's again, two things.
That's, yeah.
And they've got HIV. That's three things.
Yeah.
Oh. We're adding up.
Adding up. But really, what we're more concerned about is the greater harm, because you've got an offender or a suspect, if you like, who is out there, might be doing it to
ripping
actually
people
other people,
off.
Ripping people off.
Right.
And that's what we want to know about.
And that's about breaking cycles, I would imagine, too. You don't want them doing that to 10, 20 sex workers.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, as Paul was saying before, there's a thing called discretion. So if it's reported to us, we look at the case, we look at the whole situation, not just, all right, well, he's been providing sexual services at his own house, so it's an offence there, so let's just charge him with that. There's a whole range of considerations that actually go into before someone's actually charged.
Now, Andrew, Gabby's given me a list of reasons why sex workers don't report crimes to the police. Amongst this list, and it's a long one, media coverage. They don't want their real name out there. Their sex work being revealed to their family and friends.
Of course.
Charges being laid against them under the Sex Worker Act,
yes.
Like you're operating a brothel, but it's not a brothel.
Because you go onto the register then, is that right? Is there a register in
Victoria? Even if there is a register in Victoria, even if you are on the register and you do operate at your an address supplied by the escort or masseuse or...
Mm-hmm. No, you're talking about the sex offenders register?
Yes.
Not the registration.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
right.
I misunderstood. So what... The register's a whole other... Like you're talking about sex offences, and that's where these guys go.
No, you wouldn't go on the register.
Okay,
prostitution and kiddie fiddling, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Just checking.
Cool.
Okay. More reasons: getting evicted out of their home, because there's usually something on the lease about that.
Yes, operating your own. Yes.
My landlord circled it. Homelessness, because of the being evicted. Neighbours finding out if they don't know already. Police blaming them for the problem and not taking the issue seriously, that the police don't understand or lack of empathy, and that the police don't believe them. Now, this has been a big issue, particularly for women in the sex industry for many years, that, you know, that was a freebie. Well, they're not freebies. It's... You know, it's not on.
No, that's right, yeah. And
it's taken more seriously these days, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've spent a lot of time building up the rapport with women mainly, because they're predominantly the main sex workers, is building up a rapport to give them the courage to actually work with police. We also work with a lot of the NGOs such as RED and Project Respect, Vixen Collective, trying to actually... get the message out there for people to have the confidence to come forward to the police and they'll be taken seriously.
Now, most male sex workers have got a day job too.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
So they don't want their boss finding out what they do after hours.
And that's
why they're turning up tired to work every day.
And there's
that's a different reason.
a lot of work goes around confidentiality and treating the victims seriously, because you are talking about victims coming forward and having a lot of courage to come forward, so...
So there's a whole range of reasons why somebody would not report, in addition to the shame, shall I say, or stigma of sexual abuse, particularly from men, and if they've been attacked by another male as well.
Yes.
There's a whole range of masculinity and a whole range of other issues there as well. But when something like that happens... And Jackie, I'm going to you. Is what would you suggest to somebody who's it can be anybody in the community, inviting someone into their home or inviting a guest to call in. What are some of the big safety things that somebody can do to protect themselves? It can be inviting a sex worker in. It could be just inviting a guy I picked up on the app.
Well, I suppose you just need to be aware. And if you're working as a sex worker from home, then it may be having someone that you can contact or someone who is aware of the nature of the work that you do as a bit of a support and to seek some advice from, finding out as many details as you can about the person that you're inviting into your home. So it is really around awareness. I think if you're inviting people that you don't know into your home, there's always going to be some element of risk, which is, obviously a concern for us. but there are, you know, just those little steps and measures that you can take that might just help. But, you know, we're happy for people to ring us and certainly the Sex Industry Coordination Unit to ask some of those questions to get some advice. You know, they don't have to provide names or specific details, but we're happy to have those conversations.
Detective Senior Sergeant Paul Edibone, do you think that we have the opportunity to relook at legislation in this space? Things are very different in New South Wales.
In relation to the
sex work industry?
Oh, of course we can. We can always go for improvement any way we can, for the betterment of everyone, really. And to be honest, Lee, the main thing is to the safety of the people out there working. You know, that's our main priority, safety.
And the sex worker industry would suggest the same thing. They're not against having legislative changes to make things work better and safer. But we seem to be a little stuck in this state in regards to legislative change.
Look, oh, that's not my...
I'm not
that's not my expecting you my to comment.
And as a public servant, I'm not a barrister, you can't comment on that. Right, I might just leave it there. Andrew, I think things could be changed.
Yes, you've been advocating that for years.
Yes, I have.
One thing I'd like to add is that you can speak to a GLOW or speak to one of us or any police officer and not make an official report, but you can give us information. So if you are a sex...
Stop being a dickhead.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you are in this industry and you're hesitant to contact the police and you're hesitant to go through court because you are worried about a lot of these things we've spoken about, you can just tell us what happened and we can take that information and hopefully use it to identify people to perhaps even
prevent crimes. It's a new meaning for a neighbourhood watch, Andrew.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, totally.
And Gabby, as you were saying before, and as we were talking about before, the different units in the VicPol do talk to each other and can, you know, settle, I guess, on a appropriate outcome for that individual.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know everything. There's too much to know. And when I was approached about this, I had no idea what the laws were around being registered, unregistered, working out of your home or not. So I had to approach the people in the room here.
I asked you a few questions.
Exactly.
On that, didn't I?
So that's why we've all come together. We do work together. We all have our specialized knowledge. And so working together, we can learn from each other and then we can help people in the community.
So we will put links to whatever we can on our podcast page for this. And you want to say something, Detective Senior?
Dean, just in relation to the reason why we first come here, as Gabby mentioned about there's a couple of people might be targeting or profiling a couple of the sex worker people. Just reassure the people out there in your community and the general public that we have got no concerns about a spike in these sort of actions.
But you haven't got them yet either.
Well, we don't know about them because we haven't been reported. But I dare say if there were a couple of people out there actually targeting these particular workers, we would know about very quickly. So just to reassure everyone out there that it's not prolific and it's not escalating. It's actually one report by one person to Gabby, and I just want to make sure that's not a sentimental thing.
And the problem with these things is that the people who do target people similar to this is because they're vulnerable and they know they're not going to report to police. So I'm going to target you because I know you're not going to report it, so you're an easy victim for me, and that's the whole cycle. That's the problem.
That's how it works. When in doubt, call 000 or your local branch and ask for Gabby.
And please come forward.
Thank you so much to all of you for joining us. Detective Senior Sergeant Paul Edibone, Sergeant Richard Farrelly, of course, the leading Senior Constable Gabby Tyke, and Sergeant Jackie Klein. Thanks so much for all of you joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Sergeant Second Joy.
Putting community on your daily news agenda. The Informer.
Your nightly update of the news and current affairs important to the LGBTIQ community.
Joy's dedicated team of journalists will bring you the latest breaking stories with important analysis of today's politics, community news and exclusive investigations.
For the community, by the community.
If it's happening and it matters to you,
be informed with The Informer. Monday to Thursday from 6:30 p.m.
Only on Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
I've learned something tonight, Andrew.
Have you?
Mm. Cool. That I'm an idiot when it comes to some of this stuff. We shouldn't be calling them male sex workers.
No. Escorts.
Right.
Is okay, apparently.
Why hasn't our go-to guy told me off for that before?
I don't know.
Christian, well, where are you when I need you? Look, I'm mindful of the fact that we didn't have a sex worker here to, I guess, put their perspective.
That's
but,
right. Yes.
That was the police really wanting to let us know that you can go to them.
Yes, exactly.
And you
so, do so if you need to. Mm. Now.
You're off.
I'm away for about 5 weeks.
Andrew's going off.
I am.
Away.
Off to Europe.
Yay.
To
for you.
Have a zero birthday next week, this time next week.
Are you 40?
I'm 40 next week.
Oh,
and I'll
really?
Be in London, thankfully.
Andrew's turning 40.
Yeah.
I'll happy birthday to you.
I'll be in
happy
London.
Birthday to you. Yeah,
apparently that's... it's 27 degrees in London next week.
And be 12 next 12, week. 27 yeah. next week.
Yeah.
Then Berlin, is that right?
And then Berlin. Oh. Well, eventually get to Berlin for
a cold there
Europe.
Too, will it?
Maybe.
Not. hey, yes. Have fun.
So we'll report back on all the parties that I went to in Europe.
You're taking a voice recorder with you?
I think my partner might be.
You are not doing any of that. Actually, it'd be nice if one of you did something.
Yeah. For a we'll change. See. Here we go.
All right, we've got to get out of here.
All right. Andy Kay's up next with Black, White and Rainbow.
Have a great holiday, won't you? Bye.
Bye.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.